Today on a special classic Compassion Radio.
The kind of love Jesus is talking about is the love that acts. It's love as action.
That's right.
Love as concrete deeds.
Well, friends, it's been a Thanksgiving like no other this year. I sincerely hope that you were able to focus your thoughts and prayers on how good our God is in difficult situations and can be the guest of honor at every gathering, whether it's one or a thousand. But remember, we have to be purposeful about it. In Matthew 18, Jesus doesn't promise to be at the center of everything no matter what. He says he'll be right at the middle of it all if we are gathered in his name and for the purpose of prayer and unity. We could learn a lot about this from the example of our brothers and sisters around the world who have endured persecution, been caught in a crossfire of war, or both. Today we'll take you back to a classic conversation between Cher Nelson and her husband Norm, my predecessor here at Compassion Radio. Together they share about what they learned over the years about how the persecuted Christians faced the question of giving thanks in hard times. I think you'll be challenged and comforted by what you hear. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, I think all of us need a day to set aside to actually think about being thankful. We toss off our thank yous to God quite easily sometimes, but to spend a whole day honestly concentrating on the things that God has given us, blessed us with, and that we need to be thankful for is a good thing.
What we want to do today is to talk about the giving part of Thanksgiving, a word that is really two words, thanks and giving. Of course, all of us have the opportunity to give thanks to God, as you said, honey, for what we have been given, but also for who God is. And we have plenty to be thankful for in that regard. But what about the giving side of it? Well, I thought it would be interesting today, by the way, we've done programs over the years that have a lot of music in them, that have a kind of festive quality to them, and we love those programs. But today we thought, because of the need of some Christians in Iraq, this would be a good day to focus on the giving side of Thanksgiving and to report to our listeners regarding St. George's Church in the heart of Baghdad, where a lot of tragedy has occurred in the last few years since the Iraq War began back on March the 3rd, 2003. So let's focus on the people of Baghdad, and in particular, a report or a letter that we received, honey, from Pastor Andrew White of St. George's Church in response to the terrible tragedy that happened there now several weeks ago, when a double suicide bombing ended up killing over 160 people in the immediate environs of St. George's, actually blew body parts through the windows of the church, did enormous damage to that church, and all of that. But we have a hope-filled, I should say, letter from Andrew White. And let's share that with our listeners so they understand that progress is being made after that terrible, terrible tragedy.
Well, it certainly is. And Andrew has been amazing since the very first notice he sent out of this tragedy, where over 600 people were injured besides the 130 killed, and the terrible damage that was done to the building. He has found things to praise God for in every communication he's had with us. And the very last one we received said, "Well, praise God, the clinic is now open again." Now, parenthetically, we should say that much of their sophisticated equipment was destroyed and has not been replaced.
Yeah.
But at least he's saying the clinic is open to be able to service people and to be able to do some good in the community. So, praise God, the clinic is now open again, looking wonderful and full of patients, I'm sure. The governor of Baghdad and his staff came this morning to reopen it. It looks wonderful and is so well repaired. The governor could not believe all of its facilities, and he was very grateful for all the care we have given to his staff. He made it clear that we'll continue to work closely together. The governor's office is next to our compound, where many people were killed and injured in the bombing. The weekend has been more than busy with the usual services, both at the church and in the U.S. Embassy. But by far the most important event was the marriage of two of the members of our chapel, which I officiated. It was simply wonderful to have an event where two such wonderful people became one. This weekend's readings very much focused on the second coming. We had a reading from Daniel chapter 10, events that took place at the Tigris River, just yards from our church.
Isn't that incredible?
He says, what shocked me the most was that our Iraqi people said they have never been told of this before.
And I suppose one of the reasons for that is that many of the people, of course, most of the people that they help are Muslim people.
That's right.
Who are not aware of this information. And he had the opportunity, obviously, in talking about the second coming of our Lord and Savior to communicate that fact.
Right, even all of those who have been converted during this war period, he hasn't had time to preach all of those things to before.
That's absolutely right. Honey, this church is amazing. Mm-hmm. In that letter, Pastor Andrew made reference to the fact that they have an outreach to the embassy mm-hmm. there. And people in the embassy, people in the green zone that people have heard about for so long, diplomats and others, are ministered to by Andrew White.
His ministry is far-ranging, not just to the local people, but in so many circles.
Yeah, that's right. And so I just wanted to call that fact to the attention of our listeners. But the thing that really excites me about this is that St. George's Parish is, in a very real sense, one of the few remaining lighthouses of the gospel in Baghdad. And they have a tremendous scope. The ministry is just outstanding. We know about the medical clinic, the dental clinic, the clothing is provided to people, mm-hmm. food, all kinds of care is offered to people, and that there are now over 2,000 people that they provide help and care for. And this care, this is so important. This care is offered to the people of Baghdad in Jesus' name mm-hmm. and in the spirit of Jesus Christ. And the thing that excites me so much, honey, about Andrew White is that he's not being politically correct or even religiously correct in the sense that he plays down his commitment to Jesus Christ.
Mm, no.
This is a man that makes very clear, I am a Christian, I am a man of God, I am a pastor of a living, dynamic church in the heart of Baghdad. We are a Christian congregation. Mm-hmm. We worship Jesus Christ as God in human flesh. All of those things he makes abundantly clear to the people there, and they come, and they come, and they come, and they understand the witness, and they refer to him as Abuna, mm-hmm. that Arabic term which means father. So he is a kind of father figure to the people of Baghdad. And it is just an incredible witness to the vibrancy and the reality and the truth of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ.
Particularly when they all see him suffering with his MS. And
yes.
At times it is terribly bad. His speech is always affected, but he never takes the easy route and says, well, I should go home to London because things are difficult here and I'm not well. He stays and stays and stays.
His response to an explosion like this terrible tragedy that killed over 160 people, and as you pointed out, something we forget so often to consider, 600 people were wounded
right.
in these blasts. He doesn't get angry. Mm. He doesn't indulge in a kind of pity party, although I suppose we could justify that
I certainly could.
On his part. We have not seen 160 people killed, just a matter of a few seconds, and 600 people wounded.
Right outside our church doors.
I know that's a grisly image, but we have no right to hide ourselves as Christians from that harsh reality. But he gives care in Jesus' name, mm-hmm. and he does so with a loving spirit, without any sense of a desire for revenge. He is Christ. He is Christ to those people, and it is so wonderful to see that happen. Secondly, one of the things that really impressed me about that letter, honey, was the impression that has been made on the governor of Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the governor, that simply means we would call him the mayor of Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
This is a city that is, its combined population is equal to the combined population of Chicago and Houston.
Mm.
This is an enormous city. And the mayor, the Muslim mayor of this city, was impressed with the response that people have given and the ability and the readiness of the church to rebuild and repair and everything that needs to be done so that they can continue to move forward and serve the people of Baghdad.
And to treat the injured from his office.
That's absolutely right. What an important witness that is. And then, thirdly, and I think this is so important, we've talked about this before on the program, Andrew White and that church represent a demonstration of Christian solidarity in the sense that they have been the recipients of gifts from people at Compassion Radio. And, of course, there are Christians in other parts of the world who have heard about the tragedy there and who have given support to help St. George's. Their financial needs and material needs far exceed what they have in terms of material resources. So they must be supported from outside the country. This demonstration of Christian solidarity, when Christians are wounded, when Christians are killed, when Christians suffer persecution because of their faith, and this is what's going on in Baghdad today, when this happens, and the people of Baghdad, Iraqi people, see Christians from around the world rallying to help these believers there, then they begin to understand the strength of the Christian community and the reality of what we call the body of Christ, that we are organically linked together as members of the body of Christ. Let me say something about this and why this is so important in a Muslim context. There is a word in Arabic that is used to describe or typify or identify the Islamic community worldwide, and that word is the Ummah. The Ummah is the community of Muslims worldwide. And Muslims have a sense of a kind of organic union among each other, whether they're in Indonesia, whether they're, you know, in Lebanon, whether they're in Malaysia, whether they're in Kazakhstan or Iraq, wherever.
A family of faith.
Or even here in the United States. The Muslim community is growing here in the United States. They really stress the interconnectedness and the organic union of the Muslim community together in a worldwide sense. Well, if we read our New Testaments, we know that we are the body of Christ, that it in itself is a worldwide communion. It is a community of faith, and it is so important for Muslims to see that Christians stand together. And so when we reach out to St. George's Parish, they see the demonstration of the reality of the body of Christ, then it isn't just a concept. Then it's a reality to them, and they understand that we really do, in fact, love one another as Christ commanded us to do. And, of course, that goes a lot further than just having warm and fuzzy feelings. The kind of love Jesus is talking about is the love that acts. It's love as action, love as concrete deeds. So anyway, that letter, honey, was a tremendous boost to my spirits and I think reflective of the vitality of the body of Christ as well as this remarkable congregation right there on Haifa Street in the middle of Baghdad in the government center of the city of Baghdad and the nation of Iraq.
In this season of thanks and giving, I want to start by thanking you for all the ways you've supported our work and witness. I mean that. Even if you've never supported us financially in the past, the very fact of your presence, your willingness to spend these important minutes of your day to hear what God is doing around the world, that in itself is a gift. To God, because He wants His work known. And to us, because I know you'll really think and pray about what you've heard. And I know that will bring about the kind of spiritual fruit in you that will feed the world. Whatever's going on in your heart from the things you hear on Compassion Radio, I hope you'll take a moment to let us know about it. You can email anytime. The address is info@compassionradio.com. Now, as we head into this most important giving season, I hope you'll take to heart this important truth. Compassion Radio has always been a collaborative venture. We partner with you to pray God's will into the world around us and His power and protection for those doing His work in the world's toughest places. We've partnered with so many wonderful, intrepid ministries over the years, and we're still working hard to fulfill our faith goals for special projects this year. Things like our long-standing Bible projects, providing new copies of the Word to believers who have requested one in countries like China, Burma, and Iran. If you'll give generously and bravely this year, we'll be able to complete our faith goals to these partners and to end the year where we need it to be, financially able to begin 2025 without any outstanding debts. We're a lean team, just a handful really, and we have no ambitions to grow a major corporation here. Our ambition is simply this, to provide you with real life-changing teaching and encouragement, and opportunities for changing lives around the world through special projects. It can't happen without you, so I ask, even if you've never done it before, would you help us? Your gift today is vitally important. Here's how to reach us. Our toll-free phone number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is, simply enough, CompassionRadio.com. However you decide to reach out and join us with your prayers and financial gifts, please know that we are deeply grateful for the support and partnership. And now back to this classic Compassion Radio episode by my predecessor, Dr. Norm Nelson, and his wife, Cher.
There's something else that I'd like to share with our listeners today. We were part of a meeting by invitation only of people who are involved in outreach for the cause of Christ in the Muslim world and specifically in the Middle East. And we had an opportunity not only to meet with American Christians who are engaged in this outreach to specifically the Arab Muslim world, but also we had the opportunity to renew some old acquaintances with Christian brothers and sisters who came from the Middle East. And one of those people is a guy that we just love. We know his whole family. We've been to college commencement services here in Southern California Christian University, where their children have graduated. The name is Esam Gattas, and Esam is the president, the founder, actually, of Menara Ministries in Amman, Jordan. That word Menara means light, or as in lighthouse. And Menara Ministries in Amman, Jordan is a lighthouse of Christ's love and the dissemination of the Christian gospel in that Muslim country. So it was wonderful, and we hugged, and we had a wonderful time of fellowship together. But as we talked about what's happening in Iraq, and our listeners need to know that Esam reaches out to Baghdad. He reaches out really across the length and breadth of Iraq, with a tremendous ministry, and we partnered with him in outreaches into Iraq. We asked him what the condition of the church was now in Iraq in general. And we're talking about, you know, all the way from Mosul to Basra, from north to south, all across that country. What did he have to say, honey, about the condition of the church in Iraq today?
Well, one thing about Esam is he's always positive. He's always full of stories of the amazing things that God has done. He runs a camping program, and he's always full of stories about the kids. And he's just a happy, I love the Lord kind of person. But when we asked him about some specific churches in Baghdad, I've never seen his face fall like that.
No.
He looked down at the floor, and his whole countenance just fell. And he shook his head, and he said, it's gone. It's almost gone.
You know, to a degree, we know that that's happening.
We do.
Christians are leaving Iraq. Now, remember, Christianity has been there in this area since the first century. There has been a Christian witness in Iraq for the entire history of Christianity. Today, and there's no way to get around this, since the war began in March of 2003, Christians have been targeted as they have never been targeted before. Saddam Hussein was a terrible, a wretched man. It's good that he's gone. But he ran a secular government, a tyrannical government, a brutal government, a bloody government. But basically, he left the Christians alone, and he provided them with a certain measure of freedom. With him removed, what has happened is, well, something we can attribute to what is known today as the law of unintended consequences. Nobody wanted this to happen, but the insurgency and those who hate Christianity and who hate Christ have been systematically seeking to wipe out the Christian population of Iraq, and there is no one there with any political muscle or military muscle or any other kind of muscle to stop it. And so we pointed out on this program before that the original staff, all 11 members, of the staff of St. George's Church, for example, were all murdered. Mm-hmm. They were all murdered. And there's been a systematic effort, literally, to purge the country of its Christian population. This is what Issam is referring to, the fact that either they have been killed or they have been forced out because of the terrorism directed toward Christians, and they have fled to places like Syria, mm-hmm. to Jordan, but many, many of them have fled to Europe. I know, you know, I'm a son of Sweden. Mm-hmm. Sweden has taken in a large number of Iraqi refugees, many of them Christians. And of course, we have here in our country refugees from Iraq. Sometimes we forget mm-hmm. about that. We probably don't have as many as we should have.
It's been very difficult for them to get visas to come here.
That's right. But there is a significant population of Iraqi refugees here in America, and many of them are really suffering, not simply just because they're away from their homes and all of that, but they are materially suffering.
That's right. There are many well-educated people that have had wonderful careers back in Iraq, but here they can't get work.
True.
Many of them speak English, too, very well, but they can't, you know, they can't be a doctor. They have to go through extra examination and education here if they've been even a surgeon back there. And you know what the unemployment is here in this country. To come
right.
in from another country and try to take a job is very difficult. But we have a huge Christian community just south of here in San Diego, in
that's
El Cajon.
Right.
And we've just learned how large it is and are looking for ways now that we can reach out to that community. But they're stuck. They can't get work here, but they can't go back. They have
right.
nowhere else to go. They can't feed their families. What? I can't imagine what it is to be in that place. Now, we know that here in America, there are many people that are homeless, that are on the street. We know that at Thanksgiving, we reach out through all kinds of ministries to give mm-hmm. them a Thanksgiving meal. But that goes only one day for our own homeless. And then we have this other population here that are even lower on the ring of being employed than our homeless are. What? We have to do something as a Christian community.
That's right. And this is where the giving part of Thanksgiving comes in today. What I want to urge our listeners to do is actually, it's a double request. First of all, continue to give through Compassion Radio to support St. George's Church mm-hmm. in Baghdad, this lighthouse of the gospel, where the most courageous clergymen, certainly one of the most courageous clergymen, Christian ministers I know anywhere in the world, is ministering with great effect mm-hmm. for the gospel of Christ. But secondly, in addition to that, I want to urge our listeners to look for Iraqi refugees somewhere in proximity, close proximity to you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not close by, maybe you can find a community of Iraqi refugees to reach out to. And maybe you can't give today, but make Thanksgiving the day that you purpose in your heart and make a commitment to Christ that you are going to do something through your church, as a family, as a couple, whatever the grouping happens to be, to think about the refugees from Iraq who are in this country today because of the war, who are suffering, and who need the love of Jesus Christ expressed in a tangible way to them. You know, I think that would be a wonderful thing to do,
mm-hmm.
a purpose to embrace and a commitment to make on this Thanksgiving Day. Number one, give thanks to Christ, the living Christ. Give thanks to our Lord for all the good things, all the resources, all the blessings mm-hmm. that we have received from His good hand. But secondly, after the thanks part of it, really express that thanks by giving, and by giving to others who are in need. And specifically, consider the Iraqis in your community or in an area somewhere within reach of your community. They need your help. They need the truth of Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. the wonder of Thanksgiving to be expressed in their midst. What a wonderful thing it would be if you would launch an outreach today. And then if you do so, let us know here at Compassion Radio, and we'll be glad to share that good news on the program. Friends, be grateful for God's blessing by expressing that thanks by giving to those in need.
We're thankful for you.
today like the Father of compassion. We must give
us a call today, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com and Facebook.com/CompassionRadio. On behalf of our entire Compassion Radio team, we wish you a very happy Thanksgiving.